Dear ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, we should start, if you don't mind, 10 minutes after the schedule. So this workshop is entitled Danube Strategy. That means that we would like to have a discussion about the role of the EU strategy for the Danube region, which is a policy-level cooperation amongst the 14 countries covered by the Danube River Basin and of the EU, of course. First of all, let me introduce myself. My name is Gábor Jané. I'm one of the 14 national coordinators from Hungary. And after that, let me say some words about the build-up of this workshop. I would give a brief explanation about the Danube region strategy, hopefully within 10 minutes. And then I'm going to give over the floor to our distinguished speakers, Ms. Danica Nikolova, who is the Deputy Minister of Regional Development and Public Works of Bulgaria. And as such, she is in charge of supervising a wide portfolio of EU funds from domestic regional development programs to Interreg cooperations, while she is in person behind the Bulgarian EU-SDR presidency as national coordinator. And Ms. Rosalia Iboyabiru, who is the chairwoman of the Committee of Foreign Affairs in the Chamber of Deputies of Romania, and at the same time, she is vice president of the Women Organization of European People's Party, if I'm not mistaken, hopefully. And then we planned a round of short questions and answers at the middle of the session. And if enough time remains, I would have some questions, but maybe just the speakers can conclude in some closing remarks. So in medias res, let me briefly introduce you the EU strategy for the Danube region. According to definition, macro-region is a geological or a geopolitical term, assumes an economical, social, or historical similarity within. Like the trade between the Hansa cities as regards the Baltic region, or the trade on the Danube in the Middle Ages or even earlier. The macro-regional strategies were launched as a political and governance experiment in 2009 with the Baltic macro-regional strategy, with the ambitious intentions such as renewing the cohesion policy, creating an intermediary level development cooperation between the EU and its members, and let's say wannabe members of the EU, or put a permanent strategic background behind the traditional 7 years funding programs. The document of the EU strategy for the Danube region were born in 2010. They are quite old, to be honest, considering the changes in the political environment since then. So maybe they would need some refreshment. And the strategy was consented as such by the EU countries during the Hungarian presidency in 2011. We are very proud of this, and that's why I've mentioned it or highlighted it. The cooperation gathers 14 countries covered by the river basin of the Danube and is the most heterogeneous macro-regional framework out of the four existing in terms of economy. The 14 countries are Germany, Austria, Slovenia, Slovakia, Hungary, Croatia, Bulgaria, and Romania as the nine EU members. Three countries from the Western Balkans, including Serbia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Montenegro, and Moldova, plus Ukraine, some parts of Ukraine is a part of the strategy. In terms of the Danube strategy, content-wise, the Danube strategy has an action plan aligned with EU policies, with EU directives, and contains 11 sectoral areas, or as we call them, priority areas. As for the governance, there is a sectoral supervision where country pairs are coordinating or chairing the 11 priority areas. We call them PACs, priority area coordinators, delegated by country pair. For example, Bulgaria plus Germany coordinating the security issues within the strategy. But we have, as I've mentioned, 11 sectoral areas from transportation through energy to culture and tourism, and security is also covered by them. There is a political supervision where the national coordinators decide and the Commission advises. All the national coordinators are equal in this sense. No distinction between EU and non-EU countries in terms of voting rights, etc. Third, there is the free no principle. No dedicated funds, no new institution, and no new legislation. The aim of this was to facilitate the coordinated use of all the EU funds available in the regions, in the territory of the region, and also keeping the macro-regional strategies like light informal political cooperation. But at least the phrasing is a bit outdated now, because free knows. It sounds a bit silly, to be honest. It should be rephrased in positive terms. And we have seen some examples for that, for example, from Germany. I think this is the fifth governance structure. I would mention the Danube Transnational Program because it's special for us. It covers the same territory as our macro region, and it directly finances EU SDR governance through its fourth specific objective, besides normal flagship projects. And together with the strategy, the transnational program invests into the future through initiatives such as the seed money facility or the Danube strategy point. This is in the core of the discussions within the ENSIs now, how to set up the new Danube strategy point, which should support our governance in terms of assistance. Currently, there are many studies trying to conclude on a possible future role of the macro-regional strategies, and they have some convincing arguments for the macro-regional cooperations, but also they are listing the weaknesses, the weak points of macro-regional cooperation. Thousands of pages, to be honest, I haven't read them through because I didn't have time for that. But at least I have a favorite amongst them. This is the study elaborated by Interact with the title Added Value of the Macro-Regional Strategies. At least the title is promising because it seems that according to the Interact, there is an added value from on the side of the macro-regional strategies because they spent 150 pages for that. So it's really promising. There are some achievements in our sites. Project level cooperation within and amongst priority areas. Sustainability of project results through the priority areas. Capitalization with the Danube Transnational Program. Annual forums are able to reach the highest decision making levels. And we have some needs. The renewal of the political momentum, which seems to be a bit lost. Elaborating an adequate monitoring system as a prerequisite for closer cooperation with the EU funds. And we somehow should update our action plans and the roadmaps. And the kind of overall simplification is necessary, but it can be done only with closer cooperation with the DigiRegio and with the EU programs, especially with the Interreg family. So now I think I have spoken enough. 10 minutes is lost. So I would give over the floor to our speakers. First of all, let me ask Ms. Nikolova to give an intervention.
Thank you, Gabor. Dear colleagues, dear members of the National Parliament, honorable guests, it's really a pleasure for me to participate in the workshop today that is dedicated to the Danube strategy, one of the four macro-regional strategies adopted by the European Commission. Macro-regional strategies are a really powerful tool to explore the, as on one hand, the challenges ahead of specific region, as on the other hand, to provide solutions and to provide possibilities for macro-regional networking and creation of partnerships that could tackle the different challenges within this specific region. Danube River is one of these specific regions where all, let's say, sectoral policies could be together and jointly implemented in different type of activities and projects so that to achieve the general, general aim and goal for economic growth and creation of jobs. Gabor was very polite to introduce the Danube strategy with the pillars, four pillars and 11 priority areas that are currently within the focus of the strategy. The matter of the strategy is that it tackles different sectoral challenges, but on the other hand, with the tools that we have for implementation of different type of projects, we could follow also the integrated approach trying to focus on more linkages and synergies between the projects and to achieve our goal. The strategy provides an integrated framework for countries and regions to address different issues that could be, as on one hand, isolated, but as on the other hand, could be solved together in different type of networks and partnerships. With us, one of the successful stories that shows the added value of the Danube strategies partnerships is InConnect project. This project included 19 participants from 13 countries from the region, plus Italy, and they joined, all participants joined their efforts in research and innovation to help overcome obstacles and improve social and economic development in the region. The aim to turn it into a region of innovation and to stimulate the development of a knowledge society in an effort to make the Danube region more attractive and more competitive. On the other aspect, the macro-regional strategy focuses on challenges like security issues. Gabor already mentioned that Bulgaria is a co-priority coordinator within this priority area. And with five non-EU participating countries, three of which are from the Western Balkans, the Danube strategy helps improving stability and security in the region through sustainable networks and partnerships. The strategy also provides the participating countries with opportunities for strategic investments at macro-regional level. As a first step in this direction, 9 strategic projects were identified for a total amount of more than 40 million euro, covering areas like water transport, infrastructure, energy, improving administrative capacity, education, youth, and innovation. Gabor mentioned as well the seed money facility that is financing part of these strategic ideas and projects. This facility is supported by the Danube Transnational Program, which is the major instrument, financial instrument, that is having a direct contribution for the perspective of covering the Danube strategy goals. However, taking into account all the processes ongoing, but also made within the period starting from the period when the strategy was adopted, we need to say that we have many challenges ahead and they need to be overcome in the future. One of the aspects and one of the major, of course, challenges is the political challenge. There is a need to strengthen the political commitment within all the regions and to have more or less equal treatment from different countries for this Danube strategy, to put the strategy at the same level of priority of the national at the different nations. And this is I think one of the major challenges for making this strategy more successful, because we still face difficulties in reducing the gap between the strategy and funding opportunities. These aspects require a more coordinated and integrated use of available funding at different levels, including looking for more opportunities to embed the strategy in the national operational programs and national packages that we have available from the European Commission and supporting instruments. In this direction, of course, stronger and institutionalized participation at local, municipal, and regional and national level should be further encouraged in order to ensure the sustainable bottom-up approach in the coordination of the strategy. Most probably, most of you are aware that the strategy itself is following the bottom-up approach of finding the priorities and also defining the actions so that to achieve certain goals within the specific region that we are willing to further develop. And for the success of such an approach, increased visibility of projects and achieved results is crucial. This is something that at this moment we really have not enough within the implementation process of the strategy, because this visibility of results would support also the macro-regional strategy in trying to find further information and financial sources so that to cover the goals set. Bulgaria at this moment, starting from October the last year, is the rotating presidency of the Danube strategy, and we shall aim within the period of 12 months to focus on the visibility of the strategy and identifying a joint solution for the common challenges. One of the aspects that we shall follow within the Bulgarian presidency is, of course, to better coordinate and to support the process of coordination and better mechanisms of cooperation and communication between the different layers of the strategy. We have three major layers covering the aspect of administration, its administration. One of the top levels is, of course, the national coordinators level. Then we have the priority areas coordinators, and then we have the steering groups that are defining at the lowest level, the bottom level, the targets and also the projects that could support the implementation of these targets. So within the Bulgarian presidency also, we intend to focus the discussion on two major priorities that are covered by the connectivity pillar of the EU SDR strategy. These major topics are tourism and culture, and we shall follow the perspective of the investments in the tourism and cultural heritage as a major possibility and as a major booster of the economic growth at regional level, covering the Danube area. This would be also our focus to be covered on the annual forum of the Danube strategy that is going to take place on 18th and 19th of October this year in Sofia. And we shall cover different aspects of the tourism and cultural heritage as a booster of the economic growth, starting also from the education that is needed so that to have qualified people to manage the process of tourism and culture, but also we shall cover aspects for the environment and connect connection with the tourism and culture, of course, security in public spaces as a matter of and linkage with the tourism and culture, and some other aspects and topics that would definitely give added value for the implementation of the strategy and its goals in terms of tourism and culture. In conclusion, I really would like to sum up that the macro-regional strategies have the potential to be an important strategic tool for policy making in the future. However, they are still insufficiently recognized and noticeable as a key pillar in the future of a cohesion policy, and this is due to the insufficiently visible results. And this, in principle, makes the role of the national coordinators and all political levels involved crucial and much more important in the coming months, as far as this would 2018 would be also the year of the future, of the debate for the future of the cohesion policy. Thank you for the attention.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your intervention. Just let me add one sentence because I, before I give over the floor to Ms. Biro. I think that besides the challenges in terms of governance, we heard in this conference that maybe money will be earmarked to security issues. There is a Brexit we have to face with. So that means less money, means more need for focus. And I think that the macro-regional strategies could be or could serve as a lens in this focus, or I hope that their role can be emerged in that sense. And now let me give over the floor to Ms. Biro.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, it is both a privilege and a pleasure to take the floor of today's conference. I would like first to thank the organizer for this opportunity and to congratulate the Bulgarian presidency for its dynamic. The efforts of the presidency to consolidate the Danube strategy to make it more efficient and more visible have been noted. The Bulgarian mandate is an example about the spirit of member states can establish a regional cooperation structure. Near Mr. Jenei Gabor's excellent general presentation and near Ms. Nikolova's very complex technical presentation, let me put a little bit on a political one. We meet today in a time in which the European Union and its neighborhood are put on test. Migration, economic challenges, and radicalism affect all of us. The European Union is the most powerful instrument, if it's not the only one, to cope these difficult challenges, to consolidate the democratic institution, and to stimulate our economies. Regional cooperation continues to be an essential instrument for integration, for sharing common standards and values, and for transformation, for political coordination and strategic guidance. In my opinion, Europe is an entity in the center of a storm. We have been speaking for quite a long time already about supposed radical strategic shifts and new global centers for gravity, about emerging powers and EU's decrease in relevance, about successive resets, and about so-called the dissolution of European security architecture. The last years have been a sequence of new crises. We were and are in the constant need for adaptation and fresh policy making. The deepening of this crisis within and around the belt of frozen conflicts to our east is forcing us to redefine ourselves, to focus on our shared strategic interests and our shared values. We have many challenges. The migration in the last year and the refugees dossier that is on Europe's hands is complex and directly relevant for our society. It puts a strong pressure on our national, regional, and European capacity to find balanced solution for this complex situation. We have accepted our own part of responsibility and solidarity, joining a consensus following the customary EU debate that is part of our rules and way of functioning. If we want to solve the conflict in Syria, ISIL, Daesh, not only military but regarding its attraction for some segments of our youth, we must find solution to fundamental problems of equality of chances, social and political representation. We must address the deep causes of radicalism. And we must develop our cooperation in Danube region, our knowledge about each other, our common project, and our cohesion. This is my opinion. Our Euro-Atlantic community is a crossroads of challenges for both the East and South, and for us, the countries on the eastern flank, regional cooperation is a priority. This area is a melting pot of different interests. The most difficult problem for this region is the geopolitical fracture between different actors generated by clashes in the political, military, economic, and energy sphere, reflecting different interests among states. We need a complementary approach that takes into account all relevant platforms related in one way or another to the region, to the Eastern neighborhood and Eurasia at large. Romania is a state crossed by areas with different geopolitical relevance for the Union, Balkans, Eastern Europe, and the extended basin of the Black Sea. The Danube macro-region is the confluence of all these areas and can be considered a crucial element of Romania's strategic profile, particularly useful for the definition of priority macro-regional projects, infrastructure, energy, environment, education, culture, innovation, and so on. A new harmonization of policies and projects is needed in our area to enhance the Union's role as a major relevant actor in relation to its neighborhood partners in its neighborhood's neighborhood. The strategic importance of the Danube strategy should be reflected in a platform for regional engagement and cooperation. We have to create the condition both to engage in dialogue and to project stability. We have to involve our Balkan neighbors in project aim to bring them closer for the European integration. The very fact that the next three presidencies of European Council, Bulgaria, Austria, and Romania, belong to Danube countries give us opportunities that we must not neglect. Romania is delighted that we'll undertake from our Bulgarian colleagues the EU SDR presidency in October this year. As one of the initiators of the EU strategy for the Danube, we continue to be fully committed to its effective implementation. We are totally aware of its potential for inspiring economic, social and territorial cooperation among the participants of and to foster cohesion. Romania's added value resides in its capacity to act as a strong, predictable and active ally and partner right at the eastern border of NATO and the EU and the extended strategic Black Sea region. Of the countries neighboring Danube, only Serbia, Moldova, and Ukraine are not part of our EU, European Union, but the extended Danube basin extended into many more. Our partners in the Balkans and in the East find themselves in a regional situation that has significantly deteriorated, and their hope cannot rely only on themselves. We must insist on defending their freedom of choice, their potential of development, the solidarity of their institution, and the well-being of their society, of course. A robust association and stabilization process with the Union is undergoing with members of the region, a process that has to accelerate because some of the threats we are facing cannot be dealt by single country one. The new EU Balkan strategy is about countries in the Danube region, and they will remain a top priority for the European Union in 2018, but also in 2019 during the Romanian presidency of the European Council. Investing in the democratization, stability, and prosperity of the Western Balkans means investing in security and future of Union. This region is crucial for the stability and the security of the Union and its citizens. In our opinion, we believe that the Danube strategy is a very good platform to support Western Balkans countries' EU integration. The EU SDR gives them the possibility of direct interaction with a multitude of EU actors and rules, and is a flexible, result-oriented format. Ladies and gentlemen, where there is a challenge, there is also an opportunity. If we talk about the Danube strategy, maybe we can say that the challenge is to do more with the same resources, better efficient in our activity. The opportunity is to give for the whole world a good example that EU member state and non-EU member state can work together, can think together the future. Let alone or without sufficient support, the countries is not in the region are not well equipped to face the current instability in international relations, which would backfire on themselves, on the region, but also in Europe as a whole. Romania has therefore clearly advocated for the inclusion in the EU global strategy of a clear political message on the continuation of the enlargement and association and stabilization process, taking into account that the enlargement policy is a powerful tool to strengthen democratic institutions, to boost the economy and promote regional cooperation. The success of the reforms is key for managing possible risk of destabilization in the region and for ensuring the resilience of the countries involved. Enlargement is valuable in making a country stronger as one of its basic pillars in the fundamental first principles, hence the promotion and implementation of EU values, principles, and standards. Our governments are to build programs, plans, and strategy. But we are member of parliament, and we know that our citizens are the most important. We need programs and priorities that will enhance the economic sustainability and human-to-human cooperation. We need to build a credible and sustainable framework for collaboration and constructive dialogue in the Danube region. We live in difficult times, and we need to propose a responsible approach. I hope that today's conference will provide for intellectual stimulating debate and some answer to the challenges ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your intervention. And now let me ask all of you to pose your questions if you have any. And I would act as a I would also pose my questions later on. Please.
It's good because we are, like always, not many interest on this subject. Norica Nicolae, European Parliament, coming from Romania. I want to welcome the approach of Bulgarian presidency, which I consider a strategic approach. Strategic because we have this opportunity for the first time to have three coming presidency of the country belonging to the Danube area. Because, dear friends, I remember that we started with this Danube strategy in 2007 and we are in 2018. If we look to what's happened, I don't see many concrete projects. I see a very good political approach was set up, but not many things was done in this period. Because sometimes I'm afraid that Danube strategy, Black Sea strategy are a problem for us, for the river and for the country who are interested in the area, not a current problem of on the agenda of European Union. There are three main pillars of this Danube strategy. And I think in this in current period it's necessary to have a Danube strategy who need to be supported by all European countries, not by us, but the riverine. Because, and I say this because I consider that 10 years ago the security situation in this area was entirely different that we face today. We like to speak also about the Black Sea strategy, but unfortunately, European Union can have a very predictable and accountable strategy for the Black Sea. The situation in the area is really fluid. Now we have Russia, like an important player on the Black Sea. We have Turkey with some problem and a new vision in the security approach. They consider themselves as a regional power inside of NATO. We have two countries with frozen conflict inside, and we have only two countries who are member of European Union and who want to do something. For us, it's important to promote the transport on the Danube and to do something for a swimming this corridor. It's important also to fight for the energy security in this area, but as you saw, was difficult for us to promote South Stream, was difficult for us to promote Agri project in order to reduce the dependence of Europe on the Russian gas and oil. But we can do this, we can start, we have TANAP, but in this moment it's blocked. I believe that we need to work together for this. For this reason, I consider that we can do many things in terms to promote the Black Sea strategy, but we are obliged to do all that we can do for the Danube strategy. Danube strategy also for the environmental situation, because we don't have a clean Danube. We don't have a clean water. Sometimes when we look to what's happened, we consider that we are the garbage, the place for the garbage of Europe, if we look to what represents the Danube water. We lose a lot of resources in terms of fishery. I work also in the fishery committee, and we try to do something for repopulate the fish resource for the Danube. I work with Serbian community, but we need to set up some concrete project. For this reason, I will propose to you to have dedicated meetings with us in order to establish few big projects that are project for interest for all, in order to be promoted for financing. Because unfortunately, the money who came from the cohesion policy for the regional policy are not really dedicated in order to support our strategy and to support this approach with micro-regional cooperation. There is opportunity to have some access for this, to finance, and there is obligation for all, because I want to confess you that in Brussels there are a lot of rumors related to the regional policy. How we can cut a little bit the amount, because sometimes it's dedicated mainly for the East European country, but we need to keep in our policy this regional approach because it's important for achieving more Europe. Otherwise, we play with words, with declarative approach in politics, but we need something concrete. And I took this opportunity to ask to you who are interested to have some common project who can be supported by all of us. Not during Bulgarian presidency. We need to take on board our Austrian colleagues, and the Romanian are already in board because the 2019 presidency is Romanian presidency, first Romanian presidency. And we need to keep on board our member of European Parliament in order to fight together for keeping this regional policy. I work very well with Iskra Mihailova, who is the chair of the regional policy committee in European Parliament, but we need a bloc in order to have some concrete facts for our Danube strategy, which on me it's important for whole in European Union. It's not a matter who it's important for us, for the riverine. If they understand they need to do something, migration flow, I believe that will be confronted, we risk to be confronted with a huge migration flow on this part of Europe. And also for economic reason, we need to be more proactive and more concrete in set up and develop a project who promotes the area.
Thank you very much, Cristian Dumitrescu from Romania. My colleague from the European Parliament, Norica, say something that I want to say because I think we have the same vision. Not because we are Romanian, but at the same time, we think like European too. First of all, I want to thank the two rapporteurs for the presentation. It was really very interesting. And at the same time, I want to congratulate the Bulgarian colleagues from to introduce this theme of debate in, and into the debate links with Black Sea problems, and I think that is really very important. Regarding the strategy of Danube, Romania are initiator, and we support, fully support, you know, this policy. But I want to focus my intervention regarding what happened with this strategy in order of the access of the Western Balkan countries in Europe Union. We have the chance that three states members of the strategy are members of the Western Balkan countries and regard someone are candidate to entry to be accepted in the European Union. About the discussion that we have this morning, I think that we have enough time in order to prepare this country for the this project. And I think that if Danube strategy is only one project when this country are members, because we know that we have a lot of funds for the period of preparation of these countries to pre-adheration fund, it's different. Now we have an instrument, an important instrument institutional when there are members, and I think it's the decision of the board of this and of the commissioners of this strategy to establish more opportunities, and at the same time we need a political approach and a political decision, because here we are for the political decision, not to establish some specific and concrete projects. Maybe to give more money is a political decision, like my colleagues say. And for this reason, I think that we need to encourage this country by this way. It's a very, very easy way to remain with this country in a very good approach with the project. And because we speak about political decision, it was, we have these two chances. One is the fact that these three countries are members of the Danube strategy. The other one is that Bulgaria, Austria and Romania, members of EU Danube strategy, in this period for 1.5 years there are president of the European Union in this rotative system. And I see this kind of troika, it's important to push this possibility in order to give more quality of this approach process. Because we speak about criteria of Copenhagen, we speak about economy, we speak about negotiation of different chapters. It's real, but in the same time, and this is the vision, it's not, if you want, it's a philosophical vision. Then you represent for each country of the area, area of civilization with a way like a bridge between between this country in order to establish communication, tradition, and more than this, an energy, and if you accept good energy and with enough resources to give more substance of this process of integration of this country that will be, in my opinion, not so easy and not so short. Thank you very much. I'm not very optimistic, but I'm sure that this country will be in European Union. The problem is the time.
Thank you very much. I particularly agree with you that the problem is the time, so I would ask, I mean, one more question, one more short question, if it's okay with you, and or two very short questions, please, and then in 10 minutes we would conclude. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to speak here. My name is Raymond de Roon. I'm from the Netherlands, not a Danube country. But I'm very interested in this strategy because I believe that development of the Danube in a way that the importance of the River Rhine has been for the economies of Holland, Germany, France, Switzerland, if that could happen also for the Danube countries, it would be a big benefit for, I think, all of Europe. Now, I do not know a lot about this Danube strategy, but to understand that it has been on the air for 7 years and that tangible results are few, if any, that's a bit of a shock, to be honest, because I do believe that tangible results, and with that I mean results which can be seen and the benefits can be experienced by the citizens of the countries and the companies of the countries, such benefits you must show if you want this strategy to ever succeed in the end. Now, of course, it's up to the participating countries to decide which goals to set for concrete, tangible results. But my personal opinion is that small targets are easier to achieve than big ones. And once small targets are achieved, it's also a stimulus to go for the bigger targets. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, for the word. I'm coming from Slovenia, part of the Danube strategy. I have a little bit problem. I'm a politician, but I'm not a politician because I'm part of the Senate. I'm not part of any political party. But anyway, I came from the real economy. So listening to this, thank you very much for all this political background. But I don't see this Danube strategy as main political question. I see it as main infrastructural business question. So this is, by my opinion, I'm sorry, I'm looking from this side, point of view, but at the same time, at the same building runs strategic energy and transport connectivity in Western Balkan. 7 of 14 countries are there. So main problem of Europe and using the sources is we don't use holistic and pragmatic approach. We have at least 5 big funds, European funds, and if you look and make analyze how do we use in the same region money, not only for transport and so on, because anyway, who is the goal of this strategy? People living in area. If they are good, if they have wealthy, good living, they have no problem with other with other things. The social security is good in everything. So my opinion is that we need to seriously connect, and this goes to the MPs, connect funds and target it very clear in the region with holistic approach, because if you solve energy or transport, you need to solve other things too. employment, skills, digitalization, and so on. And that's the problem of these many, many different strategies. And Danube strategy could be big help about Western Balkan. I told you, seven of it. And not only now is Romania, then Bulgaria, Austria, Romania, and Slovenia is not far away. So there is a lot of countries very connected with the area. So if we don't do this, we should spend a lot of money, and cost benefit will be very, very low. In business, this is usually, in this case, usually you don't get the investors. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And if our speakers would like to answer, then do so. And then I would also have some kind of answers for some of the questions I understood.
Thank you. I should definitely agree with the perspective that in order to make the Danube strategy successfully implemented in the coming years, we definitely need a kind of very systematic and very concentrated holistic approach so that to really focus on specific projects that are generally strategic for the overall partners that are members of the strategy, and based on them and by implementing them, we shall also achieve our additional targets in terms of education, innovation, skills, knowledge, and all other aspects that are related with the implementation of such kind of projects. Definitely, we have to say that sometimes when we focus on strategic projects, then we could also follow our general targets, and this means that starting from the smaller targets, we can really achieve the bigger ones. And I believe that within the presidency that Bulgaria is going to lead in the coming months, focusing directly on the aspect of tourism and cultural heritage, we could really link a very specific strategic project that is more or less covered and also approved and adopted by all the members of the EUSDR, because this area and this sector of economic activity is really giving added value for all. And in this direction, we believe that focusing on this discussion, we could definitely finalize the presidency, at least with a strategic project in this direction. But as I said in the beginning, we have already 9 strategic projects that are defined by all priority area coordinators and by the and that are approved also by the steering committees and by the national coordinators, and they count for more than 40 million euro. So we need to focus additionally in this direction. We need to focus so that to make them to make the possible linkage with the funding sources and with the financial instruments, and to implement them in order to integrate the regions in a better manner, and also to use the aspect of the Danube River as one of the one that covers 1/5 of the population of the European Union. So in this direction, I believe that we have many things that could be done. Of course, we need to face at this moment the challenge to select a new coordination body that to make the overall monitoring of the EUSDR implementation, but also this unit will be a stronger support for achieving the successful results and to the concentration that we need at this moment so that to make the results visible. And this would be also the aspect that would be of support for any further possibilities that are going to be embedded in the future of the cohesion policy and the package that we shall have available. In the context of the cohesion policy, I would rather say that if we need to have more and if we are willing to see the impact of the EUSDR strategy embedded within the cohesion policy. This also should be considered to be done at the highest level of the legislative basis, meaning the regulations, so that to make the approach even top-bottom in terms of possibilities, this type of strategies to have a better impact in the future. And within the context of the Western Balkans priority of the Bulgarian presidency for better integration of these countries in the European family, I would definitely support the process in a way that EU-SDR with the countries non-EU members at this moment could have visible results by having a better connectivity and by also having specific strategic projects that could make these countries be implementers of projects on equal basis like the other member state countries. Thank you.
Ms. Biro.
Thank you. Very short. When we talk about the Danube strategy, we don't talk just about a political decision, or we don't talk about regional cooperation. We talk about 115 million people. The wish of these 115 million people to have a better life, to live this life together. And this is the reason why I say thank you for your opinion, because near the fact that for Romanian presidency, from November 2018 till November 2019 in the Danube strategy, we have three priorities: the tourism and culture with Bulgaria, the environment challenges with Hungary, and the navigability with Austria. Near this, we have to think about what Ms. Norica Nicolai said, that the past 10 years show for us that we have to try to work on little and specific projects. Little, maybe the small and medium project, but with working group for a specific project, because in other way, to talk about the whole strategy is something which will not have concrete results. I think that and the holistic approach, what you say is very important, of course, but to having results in what we can say that, okay, we did it this and we have result in that side and that part, we need these working groups in specific projects. I remember what Ms. Chairperson of Foreign Affairs Committee of EU Parliament said, Mr. David Allister, yesterday. He said the following, that we have in many fields the same problem. The problem of communication between what we decided here and what we say at home in the national parliament, because we have to convince them to have to have the same vision, and after that we have to convince our people on it, because we decide something, but we will work with our national coordinators, with project coordinators, and to having result, we have to have them in our side, in the good side, in the side which results some very good and very important objective what we put in practice. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Biro. And as if you let me to have some final conclusions, but you can add some additional words if you want. I think that we should be a bit more optimistic, contrary to what we have heard from some of the some of you. I am optimistic because the transnational cooperation covering the Danube region has just been started. The first projects were launched in 2017, at January of 2017. The stakeholders of the EUSDR were involved in the programming process of the Danube Transnational Program, which is the only one directly finances both the governance of the strategy and, on the other hand, the strategic flagship projects of the priority areas. This is the first step to put together those cooperation projects of mutual benefit and of mutual interest of both of more than two or three countries, and then after the conclusion, after the deliverables and results of these projects, they can be channeled into the programming process of the post-2020 financial period. The problem is that when the EUSDR was born, that was the very end of the previous programming period, and there was not many chance to be included especially in domestic mainstream operational programs. So for now, our let's say aim would be to facilitate a closer cooperation between Interreg and mainstream operational programs in terms of the programming phase of the next period, and to channel in all the achievements, all the project level achievements of the Danube strategy already achieved. We do have strategic projects already from the Southeast Europe program and from other programs. I know that Interreg programs of transnational money is, let's say, a peanuts in comparison to other ESIF programs, but this is the first step, it's not enough to put a sticker on a domestic project that it is for the sake of the strategy and for the benefit of the strategy. The ESIF managing authorities should a bit more, so they should talk to each other when it comes to the programming process. But in the, how can I say it? We are living in the eastern side of Europe, so we don't have such flourishing economy as France or Netherlands have. So we much more rely on European funds when it comes to the implementation of such strategic things. And we have to a bit to be developed further in order to be able to mobilize not just European funds, but also, let's say, national funds, to convince the governments that it is worth to invest such corporations because it is of mutual interest. For example, the Danube region strategy is covering the river basin of the Danube. So in case of, or in terms of water management, cooperation is a must for us. So we just cannot avoid to cooperate with Romania or with Ukraine in terms of the management of the Tisa River basin, for example. And it is promising that in terms of the Water Framework Directive, Transcarpathia is already in line with the European directives through a transnational project. So we do have very good project examples. I think that the problem is more the lack of visibility of those projects. So we have to develop our skills in terms of PR activities. In terms of priority projects, investment projects, let's say, more funds are needed. That is for sure. We can have extra money. I don't think so, that this is the case nowadays. On the other hand, we should go for a better coordination between us, amongst domestic ESIF programs in particular, as I've already mentioned. But countries sometimes are trying to protect domestic sources for themselves. How can I say this? So a kind of a lack of trust between us should be demolished through the European strategy for the Danube region. So this is also a very good tool for that purpose. And I agree that the macro-regional strategy is the best tool for the better involvement of the Western Balkans, especially our strategy, since it involves five non-EU countries and involving three out of the a bit more Western Balkan countries. And this is very important to be mentioned that the Commission, especially DG Regio, is pretty much facilitates the closer ties between the macro-regional actors and those who are planning the future financing period for Europe. So these are promising things, and that's why I'm optimistic. If you don't have further questions or remarks, we can just close the session because we are 15 minutes.
If you allow us only organizationally to invite you to the buffet lunch, which will take place at the Sky Plus restaurant at the 8th floor.
Thank you for being here and for being interested.